I see familiar faces. Good to be back. I'll be here this week and next Sunday too. So I hope to see you again. I'll be at the end of the talk. I'll be giving you a little challenge, a little thing to bring back with you next week. We'll have some fun with it. But as Steve said, the message today is about perfect relationships. What in the world does that mean? Every time I think of perfect, before I learned in ministerial school what perfect really meant, to me, perfect was a thing to get to. You know, if you do this and act this way and do whatever you need to do, then you might be perfect. Well, perfect lost its true meaning hundreds of years ago, and somehow we all twisted it around to make it mean good or bad or something to that effect, the level of what is good or bad. But the real definition, or the true definition of perfect or perfection, and Jesus used to say this, and it meant a part of the whole is complete. You know, when you say that's perfect, there's nothing but complete stuff. It's just, there's nothing lacking. There's nothing to get to or whatever. It's all a part of the whole. So that's what perfection is. And when you think of perfect relationships, I mean, I know the ones that I think of how much I messed it up or how good it was or whatever. So we're going to take a look at this word perfect relationship and see what Holmes has to say about it, and kind of get a little bit more about who you are in that part of it. I don't know if y'all remember, but I'm real a stickler for defining things and making sure we're all on the same page with words and what they mean. Webster defines perfect as having no mistakes or flaws. And Jesus is kind of like what I told you. It really means all in the whole. There's nothing you have to judge about it, being good or bad. It's just completely whole. Relationship is defined by Webster as a way in which two or more people are connected, not one. Because I got to thinking, well, I have a relationship with myself. Well, that really doesn't count. It may be considered two people, that part in me that resists me and me resisting it. And then, but it's something to consider. So when you put them together, we get two or more people that are connected that needs nothing. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. When I think of my perfect relationships, I go to my family first, and then I consider, oh, that's not so perfect. Well, it really is. We all are learning something, or we're learning to give up something, or we're learning to give to something. But relationships are designed to do that. It's what are we willing to give in order for it to be perfect without anything. It's just being. It's a part of everything. And without judging it or making it mean this or that. And that takes an effort on our part. Our brains are hardwired to make A plus B equals C. We're hardwired to judge it. And when we get to the point where we want to be perfect, we might want to say, okay, I get what I'm saying and what I'm thinking, but let's stand back and say, that may not necessarily be so. May not necessarily be so. The relationships come in many, many forms, which I'm sure you are well aware of, and our best way to learn is through our families, of course. And some more than others. And we learn from our teachers. We learn from our friends. Our relationships can go and go and go. Some of us even have relationships with animals. I mean, I do. I have two dogs that I just love to death. They teach me a lot more than I teach them, really. They remind me of things on how to be, and truly, they do. And then we have a relationship with God. And that's formed after we get a little bit maturity on our side, but, sometimes we have relationships in seasons, wouldn't you say? We're given relationships when we're born, so we have those. And then they can extend into when we start going to school, then we have it with teachers, we have it in our churches. Our relationships can mature, but they can go from one group or one friend to lots of friends. Some people only keep one or two friends, and you're lucky to have one or two friends in your lifetime. They also come in seasons. We're destined to have relationships, really. Some of us are lucky to have them all our life. Some of us have it just for a short time. Some of us have it for a day. And they can be meaningful. You can remember them. Think about the one that you have so far considered a lifetime. Consider that. What do you do in that relationship that keeps that relationship going? Have you ever thought about it? What is happening in this relationship that I have kept it this long? Why? Because you're going to get gold from just examining that. Because I guarantee you there's something that you have not realized, that you probably are the light in that, or they're the light for you, and it's give and take. I'm sure all of you can remember in relationships that they take commitment. Relationships can't just be taken. And in relationships, there are relationships that have respect as a foundation. And some of them have disrespect as a foundation. Think about it. But there's something that you will learn from it, that you will get from it. Whether you choose to see it or not, it may be later, but I promise you it's perfect on some level. Sometimes these relationships have an open heart, and that's what you go to. And some have a closed heart that you go to learn. It's amazing what we learn in a relationship. And it doesn't necessarily have to be good. It could be bad, or what we consider bad. But to me, it's still perfect. Think about it. Remember how I define perfect? It's the all-inclusive. Remember that. Okay. This year, I'm an artist, and I love to paint. And I hadn't painted in a long time, and I kept having this urge, you've got to paint this writing on a big canvas. And I was going to bring it, and I was going to send it to Desi, and I just didn't. But it's about 4 feet, 5 feet by 6 feet. It's big. And it's a beige background, and it's written in black, and it's cursive, real weird cursive. And I'd be seeing this in my mind, and I never could get what the sentence was. I'd get pieces of it, and I'd write it down. I'm going, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense. And then finally, it made sense. And you get to hear it. What it says, and I'll send it later on, it says, if you have what you love, you have everything you need. Now think about it. If you have what you love, you have everything you need. Doesn't that kind of define a perfect relationship? And what is the subject in it? Who's doing the loving? Just think about it, because I'm not going to tell you what you should do to have this. I'm going to let you figure it out according to some of these principles. And then we'll talk about it next week, maybe. But remember that when you have what you love, you have everything you need. For sure, we're connected when you give love, right? On some level, if you're not connected to the other person, you're sure connected to God. And maybe that is the answer. Maybe that is the perfection of it. It's us being that. Just something to consider. You know, it's easy to destroy a relationship. It's easy to keep a relationship at the same time when you choose to. There are all kinds of relationships. Ernest Holmes says this, and here's your clue. If one sees only unloveliness in others, it is because unloveliness is a strong element in itself. The light, I love that word, that's my new word this year, the light he throws on others is generated in his own soul and sees them as he chooses to see them. Do y'all want me to read that again? All right, listen. If one sees only unloveliness in others, it is because unloveliness is a strong element in himself. The light he throws on others is generated in his own soul and sees them as he chooses to see them. And the key word is light. And that's one thing about Science of Mind I absolutely love. A lot of people might not, because it throws the responsibility on who? Us. The one thinking, the one being, and the one doing. And it is, I mean, there's nowhere else to go. If it's you there. You're the one to look. And I feel like we're all support systems for each other. I have to remind myself to do this. It's not easy. This is not easy. And it doesn't happen the first time. I have to literally write things down sometimes on a mirror or remind me on a fridge. I have to, because my mind will go back to judgment, A, B, C, D. I proved it, done. And the thing that we're talking about today in perfect relationships is being the light, being the candle. And we'll get to that later on. But that's my new thing this year, is really getting what the light is. You know, what is this thing called light? Here's what Holmes says. It is better to light one candle than to cure the darkness. Isn't this kind of a thing apropos for this time of year with Christmas coming up? Because to me, it's going to be a celebration of light for me for Christmas. I'm going to make that happen. It is better to light one candle than to cure the darkness. Holmes talks about and I'm not going to go into great detail. You may know it from his sermon, Bless Not, Curse Not, or something like that. Bless and Curse Not. That's it. Bless and Curse Not. It's really good. But he talks about this particular guy that was just always mad or couldn't get along with people. And he came back to him and talked to him. He said, you know, I don't have any friends. I don't know what's wrong. But he went on to tell them what was wrong with them, why they didn't do this, and how stupid this was, or whatever. Long story short, Holmes didn't want to tell him, well, gosh, it's you. You know, that would have been unkind. But what he did talk to him, and at some point, the guy realized, oh, my goodness, everything I'm saying mentally, it wouldn't necessarily, he didn't say things back to him, but he would think it. That stupid idiot, or how could they do that? They don't know what they're doing. You know how it goes. Well, this is finally the light beacon that Holmes got to him saying, you got to change the way you think. You got to take a 180. And then things will change. And the guy got, he said, you mean I can't think what I'm thinking? He said, yes. Just change the way you judge something. Just change that and see how things happen. Long story short, he started blessing the very things that made him mad, but he had to change how he thought about it. It was him. But when he did, everything changed. And I'm telling y'all, it will. I've done a little critical analysis this week, and because I go into some of those things, especially at work. And so I started blessing the very person that I knew was trying me. He was trying me. He didn't want to do what I asked him to do, and I knew he would. And I'd go up to him, and I'd hold his arm. Thank you for being here. I couldn't get anything done if it weren't for you. He just insulted me, you know. By the end of our time of working, love you, Miss Alyssa. And it only changed because I chose it to. I did not want to go into the way I thought and make it prove it. You know how we do? You know how we do. And I thought, that man got to say he loved me. I allowed it. Y'all understand that? It's up to us. It was up to us. When we talk about blessing, let's define that. When you bless something, you evoke care or good on something. And I think Webster says you confer. I'm not real sure what confer is. Confer prosperity upon. It just takes a little effort. And like 180. You can't curse or not bless people mentally. That's the secret. I thought you had to say it out loud. You know, like, I don't think you did that right. That's not the way I'd have done it or whatever. You can't say it out loud. You can't think it. That's what I didn't realize. I wasn't the light. It was me. And I cannot stand to have to look at me. But I have to. Because I kind of am responsible for the way he feels too. He got to say he loved me. And that took a big thing for him to say that. It's mentally where you want to change. Point, here's another principle. Big time. And you know how I am. If y'all can get one thing from this talk, just one, this is what I want you to get. Just one. We're either blessing or cursing everything around us. You know, like the hand in, it's either this way or this way. It can't be halfway. It's either front or the back. And it's your choice. I can't stand that sometimes. You know, that's so much responsibility. But it's just the truth. It's just the truth. When you decide to be a light rather than live in the darkness, things will change. The world may change. You know, I the most sensitive people, or they're not people, but animals and children seem to pick up ugliness or whatever, so they can pick it up every time. I know my dog can look at me like he'll come in and like, I think I did something wrong. And you could see it on his face. Those kids, you're not being nice, Miss Alyssa. Or I know what you did. They feel these things. And somehow we lose that. We lose that. And they do too. They become adults and they lose it too. But they are so much more aware of good and not good. You know how they are, grandchildren especially. They will remind you. The principle of blessing will work. Watch what happens. This is what I call creating a perfect relationship for yourself. You are the light. It's your responsibility. You're the candle. You're the candle. Another important phrase Mr. Holmes said, and here I'll read it twice probably. There is thought that God is present everywhere. There is one life, and that life is God. That life is my life now. How many times have we said that? So many. There will always be God in something, and you'll know it. You'll know it. God is over all, in all, and through all. And this is when you can know God will be the perfect solution. Always. And this is what we call perfect relationships, when we allow perfection to show by us being the light, by us being the candle. Holmes also said, darkness has no power over the light, but the light does have power over the darkness. Hate has no power over love, and love can dissipate hate. Fear cannot destroy faith, but faith can annihilate fear. Let's do a little exercise. I want us to pretend we... I thought I was going to light a candle. I thought, well, I may burn the building down, so I won't. But there's one been lit all the time. But let's all close your eyes, and let's just see the difference and what closing your eyes is. And there's nothing. There's just nothing. And then let's open them. Look what you get. Light the candle. Be the candle in the dark. Be the light that everyone else can see. When you reverse your thinking and bless always, you become the perfect relationship. And that's it. Next week, what I'd love for you all to do is we're going to be talking about masks and other stuff, of course. And if you would like to bring a mask with you, we'll do some fun stuff with it. Maybe one or two of y'all can do that. Any questions or any comments? Did I say something for somebody that they needed to hear? I hope so. I hope so. I know it can be done. If I can do it, y'all can. I saw it yesterday. And I went, wow. Okay. Who comes up next?
Faith that there is a presence and power greater than I am. that nurtures and supports me in ways I could not even imagine.